Hey, how are ya? I'm Rob. In the last episode, we talked about the pillars of oppression. Fear, division, confusion, hopelessness. I think I nailed them all. Well, we're going to continue on to talk about something that's extremely important. Knowing your rights. I feel like that's going to be one of the most important things in America, even though they're not truly rights, like George Carlin once said, they're more of privileges because they can be removed at any time. I feel like the best way to be an American is to know your rights. And I feel like a lot of these corporations, these mega titans with wealth, know their rights to the T. Not so much that they themselves know it, but they pay very high-priced consultants to really, truly understand and maybe theorize what the actual rights are. That's how we got Citizens United, where America considers corporations humans. Where the fuck did we go wrong? Anyways, we're going to discuss knowing your rights when it comes to organizing in your workplace. Again, this is my series on how to organize. It's not as thorough as it could be, but it's just like a Cliff Notes version. Before we get into knowing your rights and more about your rights and your specific rights at the workplace, if you're organizing or becoming part of the movement, I gotta say, this movement's often led by younger kids, the younger generation, the Zoomers, I think they're called. And it really made me reflect and go, well, what the fuck happened to Gen X and the older millennials? I'm on the cusp of those, the latchkey kids and the millennials. And I'm just kind of disappointed, I guess. I'm like, why aren't we leading the charge? Why didn't we start this movement? How come it's all these younger kids starting? What did we do? I mean, most of the past 20 years has been a blur, but really, if you're in that late millennial, young, Gen X generation, like, what are we really that bad at slacking that we just kind of like went, whatever, we don't care? Kind of disappointed in us. But it's never too late for a redemption story, so here we go. We're joining up. And if you're in that age group, feel free to, you know, show your allyship. Collaborate. Become a partner with these people. Because these young kids are leading the way. They're like, nah. You telling me just in the short time I've been alive, I've seen all these banks collapse, two recessions, a worldwide pandemic, and that there's some kind of American dream when I can't even get health care during a pandemic? I love these kids. They're going to change the world, hopefully. But they need help. They need support. They need other people. So it's kind of why I think more people need to get active in this. If you're feeling hopeless, like, what can we do? It's always been this way. Nuh-uh. These young kids are changing that. I know Gen X is known as, like, the latchkey kids. We were raised by television, yada, yada, yada. But really? Were we supposed to be the revolutionaries? I mean, for crying out loud, look at our culture, our entertainment, our pop culture. We had so many voices of a generation. I guess they were all killed, but irregardless, we had Pac, we had Kurt, we had all these great voices that were going to, I don't know, maybe that's very symbolic of how they killed off our any motivation we had. We just went to hanging out on the block. Am I going too deep in this? I don't know. I just felt really responsible for, like, my age group of people being like, hey, we need to be part of this movement, what these young kids are doing. Anyways, let's focus, Rob. Jesus. Stop blaming an entire generation for not doing anything for 20 years. Lay off of us, okay? Our parents weren't there. We all went through a divorce. We're having a hard time. Meanwhile, these younger kids are like, we've been watching the world collapse around us. Everything's on fire. We're picking up your slack, and I thank you, younger kids. I thank you. I can't thank you enough. I'm so proud that you guys are the ones. And I'm glad I'm getting to witness some of it. You know, not everybody gets to say they saw late stage capitalism and the collapse of an empire, but we got front row seats. So before I get into knowing your rights, I wish I had someone to talk to. Sitting here alone is weird. But I do it for you. I just want you to think of a time, okay? I want you to put yourself. We're going to go first person shooter here. That's a bad analogy. We're going to go first person, whatever. First person, I guess it's always called first person shooter, right? In the gaming world. We're just going to put you in the first person view, right? And you are a hardworking employee. You're never late. You always show up. You never call out. You've been with the company through a pandemic. You've stuck with them through their financial recessions, or the new word that's been termed a rich session. God, I hate that they term in these new words. And you've done everything you could. You stayed late. You went in early. You went in on your days off. You've given a lot to this company of your own time. You've given your own blood, sweat, and tears. And the company is now doing well again. Okay? That's the scenario. The company, whatever they make doodads, doohickeys. And nowadays, the doohickeys, the price has gone up for them. And you're seeing the company do well. And you go, you know what? My buying power as part of the economy. Because let's face it, the people and their purchasing power make up the economy. Without that, who's going to buy from these businesses? What are these corporations going to buy each other's products? I don't think so. You need people. So as that first person employee in this scenario, in this hypothetical I'm bringing up, you go, I want to go to my boss. I've been here for years, never asked for nothing, and I think it's about time I deserved a raise. And they've let me know how well worth it I am with pizza parties or a gift certificate to something that I didn't use or donuts in the morning. They even got me coffee 1 week. You know, all that baloney that doesn't change your life, doesn't help you, although you've given so much to them. You feel like that's them flirting with me, right? That's them throwing out some vibes, saying like, hey, you're worth it. Why don't you come and ask for something? So finally, after years, you go to the boss who represents whatever it may be. $100 million organization with all their lawyers and their high price things and their bottom lines of profit. That's what the bottom line is. They need to make a profit. And you go to them and you go, well, I've been through XYZ. I've helped with this, that, the other thing. And my purchasing power, I can't even afford the doohickeys and the doodads that we make anymore because you guys raised the prices and now it'd take me an hour just to buy one of these. It's getting out of control. I think it's due time. If you say the price of everything's going to go up eventually, you're saying, well, how about the price of labor? The price of my labor should go up. And you proposition them. With all I've given you, with all I've dedicated to you, you know I'm reliable. You know the quality of work I do. I'm the Michael Jordan of the cubicle. And you say, I need more money. But in reality, from the manager, from the CEO side, they might have a positioning statement that our team is the heart of our foundation. We can't function without our team, XYZ. Whatever that fake PR statement, their mission statement, their motto goes. When you ask for more money, if you even get it, it's usually not what you were expecting or hoping for. Because in reality, you're just a drop of water in the bucket. and they got hundreds of you. Tens of maybe hundreds of employees. They go, you know, different. What are you going to do? Leave? You leave, we're going to give your work to somebody else. Yeah, it might not be as high caliber, but it will get done. And you really have no power. And if you do get the raise, and it's not what you wanted, what do you do then? You just have to take it on the chin for the next umpteen years until hopefully they don't price you out of the product you make or price you out of this society at home. Because we can all agree, I hear it from everyone, people that don't believe in paying a living wage, they all say the price of stuff just rises over time. The cost of everything goes up with time. But these people never account for the price of labor. And the proof is solely in that the federal minimum wage has not moved since 2009. We're talking almost 15 years now. It is $7.25. And I don't care if you live in a state that has it higher. Legally, the federal minimum wage hasn't budged in 15 years. Tell me what else, besides Arizona iced tea, mind you. Arizona iced tea is still 99 cents for one of them giant cans. But tell me something else that hasn't, the price hasn't changed since 2009. I ain't going to wait because it's going to take you some real Googling. You're going to have to ask one of those AI GPT chats. Because nobody knows, because it probably doesn't exist, again, outside of the Arizona iced tea. Which, by the way, how is that company functioning, okay? If all your economic capitalist theories are correct, that, oh, we just, inflation has to happen. Everything, the cost of everything, price of home, price of car, it's all going to go up, really? How come this Arizona iced tea has miraculously been sitting at 99 cents a can since I was in high school, probably? I remember buying it back then for 99 cents. Maybe it was cheaper. But how has it stayed at that rate and everything else gone up? Huh? But what do you do in that scenario? Well, there's one option. Because really what that scenario amplifies and highlights is the power structure and how lopsided it is. You have none of the power because these corporations, these businesses will just make you feel replaceable. Doesn't matter if you're the Michael Jordan of a cubicle. And we've seen it a million times over the past decade. I've seen it in radio happen all the time. Yeah, that's great. You're talented. We'll just let you go. Save that cost. We'll save that money. It will go to somebody else higher up. And we'll just give your work to somebody else who is just going to feel grateful that they're in the industry, that they have a job. And that fear replaces you. Now that's power. When they can get rid of you, shift your work to somebody else, not pay them more. It's so sad in radio. I see all these job postings where it's like, you can be the program director, the morning show guy, and music director. And I'm like, yo, those were three different positions at one point. And now you're hiring one person and promoting it. You're promoting it like this is a good gig. Sometimes I just write those fucking people and say, you should be hiring three people. Fuck you. And whoever takes that position, I feel bad for them. They're gonna fail because no one can do three jobs, those three distinct jobs, great. Especially if you're providing content on air. That job, you need to be wholly and solely focused on creating an entertaining show. I mean, just look at any kind of other entertainment. It happens in movies where you see the actor direct and maybe write. I always think of like Ben Affleck. But then again, you're getting Ben Affleck quality stuff, okay? It takes true talent to be able to, and at the same time, they're not rewriting. Well, maybe they're rewriting as they're shooting and they're directing as they're acting, but really, it's not a commonplace thing. And for radio, if you don't know, like when you're on air, you're writing all day. You never clock out. You go home, but you never clock out. Your mind is always on the job. And it's just unfortunate that this power dynamic, that they have all the money, and they have all the resources, and they have all the power, they can just kind of do whatever they want. And that doing whatever they want usually never, and we see it all the time, they've been doing what they want with prices of things. I was just reading earlier today, the price of toothpaste has risen like 12% or something, even though people are buying 2% less of it. So they're still making up with the profits. They're still killing it in profits, even though not as many people are buying the toothpaste. The Colgate and Palmolive, whatever the soap company is. I was reading that and I was going, Jesus, they really can do whatever they want. And what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Not buy the toothpaste, apparently. That's what's happening. Which is great, but it doesn't stop them from doing what they want. If they want to raise prices, they will. Same could be said as, if they want to pay you, they can. They don't want to. Because they look at it as, well, I got to make enough money to have a few homes, take a bunch of vacations, do whatever I want. And they do. They flaunt it. I mean, just look at Amazon. Jeff Bezos built a yacht so big, it has a fleet of yachts that follow it. One of them has like a helicopter landing pad. But he also asked an entire country to deconstruct a historical bridge so he could drive his yacht past it. I mean, this is the shit we're dealing with. It's surreal. I don't even think people can comprehend the amount of arrogance you have to know that while you're doing that, there are people that work for you who can't take a proper break and they're pooping and peeing in bottles. Yes, that was a news story again. It continues to happen. So, it's about power. Now, how would you want to equalize that power? It's tricky. But one way is, instead of you going in to ask for a raise, and yes, we're still on the same hypothetical, I promise you I'm going to get to your rights. If you think, Rob, are you just lonely? You just like talking to somebody? What's wrong with you? Yes, you're right. This is my time to bond with you. In solidarity. But I promise you, we're getting to the rights. This is a good hypothetical. Trust me, because we're talking about a power structure and how you equal out those scales. I don't need to convince you. I'm talking to myself right now. Do you understand that? While you listen in your car, I sound like a crazy person. How do you equal out that power? Well, if you're going in for your raise by yourself and you're asking by yourself, you can't. Okay. But there is one way you can kind of leverage it out. You're not on the same, you just, it's still not the same, but it's your best shot, okay? You're still not going to have that weight, that swagger, that wealth that these people have. But if you organize, let's say you get all your coworkers, especially all the people who've been there for a while, who haven't had raises. And maybe it's these people who have been there for 4 or 5 years that are starting to discuss their wages, which is legally protected, by the way. Federal law protects you. If you want to tell your wage to the person they just hired, if you want to tell your wage to anyone, you are protected by federal law. Never let a company or a culture tell you not to talk about money. They do that. They've made it taboo, so nobody knows that they're underpaid. And what you're finding out nowadays is people who have been working somewhere for 4, 5, 6 years, they're talking to these new hires and they're going, oh, what are you making? And they're finding out the new hires are making just as much as they are, sometimes more, but there's been no reward in your dedication and sacrifice for that time period. There's no seniority. There's no meritocracy for putting in the work. You get no reward for those 5 years. Because if you had just gotten hired today, you'd be making that same rate. And that should tell you, that alone should make you want to organize and go, we got to have some power here, because that ain't right. If you're spending that time with this company, giving of yourself to this company while that company's making profits, opening new shops, selling more doodads, raising the price on their doohickeys, and you're not seeing any of that profit, there's one way to find out. Find out what the highest people are paid. Ask them. Because if they're getting raises, if they're getting bonuses, then there's money to go around. They're trying to keep you in the dark. And that's the oppression. But to kind of balance out that power, your best shot is you go around, you get these new people and go, hey, new person, I understand you're making this much, which good for you. Never get mad at the people who are making that. That's the other thing they bank on. The powerful, the wealthy, the oppressors want you to argue, be mad at each other. I've heard people apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, you didn't set that rate. This is the company. Don't be fooled. Just because someone's making as much as you coming in straight from the street and you've been there 5 years, that's not your fault or theirs. That's the company they've chosen. This is a choice. This is a policy. So never get mad at you. Do not become a working class trader. Don't become a class trader. Don't. Recognize it and say, hey, in fact, this is a great opportunity to win people over, the new folks to your side. You say, hey, I'm making that same amount. They go, oh my God, really? And you go, yeah, how would you like to spend 5 years of your life to this company and still be making that amount? And once they see it like that, hear it like that, maybe it opens their eyes. This is why people get called woke, because they wake up to this shit. And they go, oh yeah. They stop thinking about, wow, I'm so special. They hired me at that rate. Everybody gets selfish, right? They think, oh wow, you've been here 5 years. What'd you do wrong? I'm very special. They hired me on at that rate. What they don't realize is neither of you are special. This is how the system runs. So if you just got hired in at that rate, you should be scared to death of finding out 5 years down the road that you're only worth that rate. And maybe 5 years down the road, because inflation, the doohickeys, the corporate profits, all this, they're hiring people more than you're making. And they're just hiring them at a higher rate. And now we've kind of ventured off the hypothetical, because I've watched all this happen. I've seen this happen in real life. In fact, when I was working in radio, I tried to take a dollar out of my salary because the company wouldn't give a guy a raise just because of the timing, the time he got hired. He was actually there longer. And because we hired a new guy and the rates had just gone up, he was making a dollar more. And I said, that's crazy. And I tried to get the company to make right and pay the guy who had been there longer a dollar more. And they said, no. And I said, take it out of my salary. I'll never forget. My boss, Ron Valera, was like, we ain't doing that. We don't do that here. And I didn't want to lose my guys. And it sucked. But I realized this is how the system operates. And this is why they tell you, no, 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 don't discuss your pay at work. Bullshit. Always discuss your pay at work. What are you, a moron? Ask the person who's been there the longest how much they're making. And if it's not a lot, why would you spend all that time there? Be smart. How come it's business smart to do that when you're on the other side, when you're on management side, to find out what everybody's making, who's charging what? But on the worker's side, they make it taboo, shun it. It's for power. So the way to equalize that power is you get all these people together. Talk about your wages. Talk about what's going on. You find the seniority there. You find out if they're happy. And if not, you guys can join together and you all go in together. You bargain for your raise. And the reason that gives you power is because if this company thought they could mess you around, a single employee, say, what are you going to do? Quit? Get out of here. We won't miss you. They ain't going to fire everyone. Okay? And if you don't get what you like and you're all in a group and you're all in alignment, you can go. Here we'll start off with your know your rights. You can go on strike. That is a legally protected right. Now, definitely consult a lawyer if you're going to do this. I will say that because there are different kinds of strikes. There's an economic strike. There's an unfair labor practices strike. There are strikes that are not protected. So it becomes a minefield. And I said, I'm not going to go deep into it, but it's stuff you can research more. But you are protected to go on strike by federal law. Some of your other rights, especially if you're going to, if you hear this maybe, and you go, you know what? That sounds like my place. They just hired someone who's making as much as me now, and I've given 6 years of my life to this company. Well, you have the right to form, join, or assist a union. And I'm just going to read some of the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, .gov. You can go look this up too. It's good to know your rights anyways in America. I feel like now it's very important. I feel like my brothers and sisters in the black community are like, yo, we've known this forever. But the working community needs to be reminded. So you have a federally protected right to form, join, or assist in a union. You have the right to organize. You have the right to negotiate with your employer over the terms, conditions of employment. You might be at will right now. At will just means if you come in tomorrow, give the boss an attitude, they'll get rid of you. You are an at will employee. And if they don't like your attitude, you smiled weird, maybe you fired it at your desk, you didn't mean to, they were like, go home. You're like, you can't be serious. They were like, yeah, we're dead serious. Get out of here. And that's true. They could just fire you for no reason. Once you form a union, there's different steps and stipulations. They can't just get rid of you for no bogus reason. There needs to be, I forget what it's called, something kind of cause. Again, this is about knowing your rights. You have the right to distribute union literature, wear union buttons, t-shirts, or other insignia. It says, except in unusual special circumstances, but I don't know what that means. But you have the right to do that. You can solicit coworkers to sign union authorization cards, discuss the union with your coworkers. Supervisors and managers cannot spy on you or make it appear that they are doing so. They cannot coercively question you, threaten you, or bribe you regarding your union activity or the union activities of your coworkers. And you cannot be fired, disciplined, demoted, or penalized in any way for engaging in these union activities or forming these unions. Also, it says working time is for work. So your employer may maintain and enforce non-discriminatory rules limiting solicitation and distribution, except that your employer cannot prohibit you from talking about or soliciting for a union during non-work time, such as before or after work or during break times, or from distributing union literature during non-work time in non-work areas such as parking lots or break rooms. So you're free to do that. But here's the key. Restrictions on your efforts to communicate with coworkers cannot be discriminatory. For example, it says, your employer cannot prohibit you from talking about the union during work time if it permits you to talk about other non-work related matters during your work time. So if you're talking at your cubicle about what you're doing for vacation, what's going on the weekend, the concert, whatever, you're talking about non-work stuff. Which I don't think any workplace has a strict only talk about work policy. I've never heard of that, but most people, that's the whole reason we have water cooler talk, because people go to the water cooler and they talk about whatever's going on. Taylor Swift, I'd imagine. That's probably what all water cooler talk is. But if you can talk about anything at work, outside activities, leisure activities, they can't say. They cannot discriminate. They cannot tell you cannot talk about union stuff. You can. You are legally protected. So this stuff is just very important. And you know what? I'll go into more of it at some point. I didn't realize my hypothetical was going to go on so long. I really didn't. Talk about this hypothetical thing for like 2 minutes. And then I'll go into know your rights. Because there's so much to knowing your rights. Really, there is. Knowing unfair labor practices. Knowing why you might be reading stories about retaliation in the news. Your work can all of a sudden, if they know, and this is why people keep the union organization stuff on the DL, because you become a target, because what let's say, some of these bigger companies do is they'll start to enforce strict policies, which becomes retaliation against people trying to form a union. If your work, if you, let's say you're late to work every day, your punch clock says you come in 1 minute late, right? And they're fine with it. You've been doing it for years. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just you always punch in a minute late. And then you start to realize, like, hey, we need to join together so we can push for a raise or push for, you know, safer stuff at work or just whatever it is, whatever you're organizing for. And then the company gets a whiff that this might be going on, right? And then the next time you punch in 1 minute late, they go, you're fired. And you go, what? This is always what's happening. I'm always exactly 1 minute late. You never had a problem with it. They're like, nope, now we're enforcing the rules and you're fired. We're not even going to go through the three strikes you're out. We're just going to fire you. Well, that, my friends, is retaliation. And that's illegal. They can't all of a sudden magically start to enforce these policies that they never cared about in the first place. Why do you think they're enforcing them? Oh, maybe they know that you're starting to consolidate power in the workforce. And they don't want that. And they might even be happy making an example out of you to stamp out that fire of solidarity. But that is highly illegal. So that's why knowing your rights and knowing these different scenarios where your rights come into play. Like if your boss says, hey, you can't talk about that stuff at work. And you go, what? You can't discriminate what we talk about? Show me in the rule book where it says, you know, we can only talk about work stuff. Only work things are related. Only talking about doohickeys and doodads. And if so, why did you talk about your nephew's baseball game or whatever? You know, they cannot start to retaliate in these different unfair labor practices. They cannot discriminate against what you're allowed to do and what you're not. So it's just better to be informed. And I thought I'd give that brief rundown from the government's website, the National Labor Relations Board, which is a great resource. You should definitely check it out. But it's a small, again, it's like it's the bare minimum. It's one paragraph or maybe two paragraphs. It's not even a full page. It's like they could have done, you know, 16 font and made it look bigger, double spaced it. Jesus. Talk about not wanting to be for the workers. That was the utmost bare minimum I've ever seen. And that's from our government. So all these things should kind of tip you off that they're not for workers having solidarity. They don't want people organizing. Because what does it do? It tips the scales of power back. I can't even say in favor. Because when you have billions of dollars and you pay, I forget what I was reading. They pay like $600 an hour for these lawyers that are union busters. Up to like $2,500 a day. Or I forget. It's insane rates. When you have these kind of meticulous law crafting, law disseminating people on your side, they will get real clever, real sneaky. And why do you think they'll do that? Because they like to have all, no, not like, they need to have all the power. Though, they need to have it. They recognize. This is why they fight tooth and nail. They'll invest. It's so ironic to me that they'll spend hundreds of millions. I read a report. $433 million was spent last year or the year before on union busting. When that money probably could have covered most of what these companies' employees were asking for. But they'll spend way more on trying to break it up. And it's not because they don't want to give in to the demands. They don't want a better workplace. They don't want a safer workplace. They don't want workers that feel good about themselves, that can survive, that have a purchasing power to help the economy so they can buy the products they actually make. It's none of that. It's about having the power. They want the power, and they know we got it. But we only have it when we're united. Solo, they can toy with us, mess us around, do whatever they want. When we are a united force, just think about the purchasing power. Think about how much they spend on marketing. They clamor, these companies clamor to fire up people. They want solidarity. They want organizing when it's all people wanting their product. They want everybody to want their product. They buy it up, makes them rich. Why don't they want those same people organizing to get paid enough to buy their product? Well, they don't want to lose their power. Their imaginary power that only money has afforded them. They're not respected in the community. They're not loved. They're not helping nobody. I hear it all the time. If you're in business and not making profits, what are you then? People only go into business to make profits. Who can love and respect that? How does that help anybody? Except for the guy making all the profits. The real power is in the people. We'll go more into organizing and knowing your rights on the next episode. I did not know this was going this long. So I thank you for listening. Share this with somebody in solidarity. Peace.